What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Laura, what do you got?
All right, guys. As things seem to be going back to normal, you know, and I'm using air quotes here as normal because I don't think we'll ever be back to normal. Anyways, the LA Pride Parade will return after being absent for 2 years due to COVID. The parade is usually held in West Hollywood, but it's actually moving to Hollywood because that's where it initiated over 50 years ago, and they weren't able to inaugurate it in the 50-year anniversary, so they wanted to put it back in Hollywood. So it's in the summer, and if you guys want any more information, lapride.org has all the details.
All right, awesome. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are, so make sure you check that out. And, of course, it is National Margarita Day. We've been having some fun with that. Laura has provided plenty of spots across town for you to go. What about the IE, Laura? I feel like we're neglecting the IE a little bit.
No. There's Gloria's Restaurant in Ontario. That's a really good one. There's Pescador also in Ontario. Para que no me digan nada después. Yeah. Then there's Mama Por Dios in Rancho Cucamonga. So there's good places out there. I think Calaveras has places out there too.
What about the OC?
The OC. So, I mean, I do got one, but I don't really dip into the OC that much.
Oh, you an LA girl.
She don't dip. What happened was.
LA County all my life, for life.
Maybe we can get Morales to, like, tell us about a place during the rejoins.
That's true. But there is a Matador Cantina in Fullerton.
But Morales is not, like, a super, like, fancy Mexican joint kind of guy. Mm-mm. Like, he loves, like, just regular old, any place that's Mexican food. Like, he loves brands. Like, he's an El Cholo guy. And, you know, El Cholo is a place that has a lot of restaurants all across, you know, the Southland. So.
Yeah, you can go there, too. I mean, there's one
in downtown, right?
Yeah, Cholo, right across.
Right, still?
Yeah. Right. There's Matador. Yeah. I said Matador Cardina in Fullerton. El Matador in Costa Mesa.
Now, is it Cha-cha's. Fullerton or downtown Fullerton? DTF.
It's in Fullerton.
Why are you laughing, bro?
I don't know. Funny the way you said that. DTF. That was funny.
DT.
You know who has a sneaky good margarita?
Who that?
On a real, like, in Newport Beach, Sharky's.
Mm.
Sharky's in Newport Beach has a sneaky good margarita.
Okay.
Like, it's not fancy, but it's good.
Okay. Sneaky good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good one. It's in the OC.
Oh, Morales woke up when we said the DTF. He just texted.
I get in trouble in DTF, so.
You do?
You get in trouble?
A little bit. In Fullerton. That's where I met TiVo, yo.
Oh, that's right. He says he's done damage at El Matador.
I bet he has.
Done damage.
Good spot.
There you go.
Speaking of doing damage, is it pouring rain where everybody is right now?
No.
Not at all? Have you had
cloudy,
a big rainstorm?
It's not raining, no.
No?
No, just cloudy.
I've been watching the coverage on KTLA of, like, Storm Watch 2022. Yeah. You know, and they've got these reporters.
What? Storm Watch 2022 because of rain?
Yeah, of course. That's the way it works.
You never watch the news, the local news here when it rains?
I don't watch the local news at all, but I just think it's funny because, you know, obviously back east, they make such a big deal out of the storm, like, oh, winter storm, blah, 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 and they always make such a big deal out of it. I just think it's so funny to me that, like, it's rain.
Well, does it rain here?
But it, right, I mean, it rains, like, 5 days a year.
I know, that's why it's funny to me. I still can't, like, comprehend
it. It was weird at first, yeah, I know.
So I'm just watching the green going over the coastline. And, you know, whether it's down in Orange County, they've got it from Mission Viejo up through Santa Ana into Long Beach into downtown L.A. And you're just seeing, like, all this green just covering all of Southern California, the entire region. See? And they've got these reporters wearing, like rain gear as if, like, they're covering a hurricane, you know, in the Gulf Coast.
See?
And, yeah. And then
are they out there like, yeah, Karen, out here it's really windy. The storm's coming in, like that situation.
Let
where
me tell you
like
something.
Yelling.
I was having lunch today. I went to meet a friend in Santa Monica today, and I went to have lunch out there. And yo, the wind was wild out there. Like it was like consistent, mm-hmm. like 25 mile per hour gusts. Like I was just like, what is happening out here? This is nuts. And like I'd be walking by, and women's hair would be going crazy all over the place. I'd be like, damn. Yeah. And it was kind of chilly too.
It's
like
cold.
It was nice, but it was
cold. It's cold. Chilly. It's like 50 degrees right now. Like I'm not used to this.
Well, especially with the wind. The wind.
I'm glad you acknowledge how cold it is because you know with the whole thing about oh my God, winter storm watch. You know, just because it's a little bit of rain, a lot of people feel that way who come from the East Coast. Like, come on, guys, really? Like, let's grow up here a little bit. It's just some rain. But seriously, when it gets to 50 degrees, I'm like, wait a second. It was summer 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was.
And then they got a reporter up in Big Bear. They're like, all right, let's go to Big Bear.
It's We're snowing up there.
Dumping snow. So that's cool. That's good
that's
if you're
good.
into skiing. I know you're not into skiing, George. That's why you don't watch the Winter Olympics.
I'm,
I know that.
I'm cool with skiing. Oh. I don't need to watch people ski, though. Oh. Like, I'm cool with it. Like, it's fine. It actually, of all the winter sports, maybe hockey, maybe skiing a little bit, maybe snowboarding a little bit. I'm out of that. I'm out of everything else, though. I told you, I watched like 45 minutes combined the entire Olympics. I just don't like the Winter Olympics. And again, I feel justified considering nobody else watched it either. Other than
I know.
You.
Well, and it's Steve Basin. But it is interesting. I feel the same way. Like, I realize, I acknowledge people weren't watching it. The ratings will tell us that. But it's, for some reason, I've been going places, and people who I know, they like winter sports. They like to go to Mammoth. They like to go to Big Bear.
Sure.
So because they like skiing
and snowboarding.
I like
going to Big Bear. It doesn't mean I like watching it on TV, though.
Well, I'm just telling you, the people that I've been talking to are like, hey, you've been watching the Olympics? I ran into a guy today, and he said this to me. He goes, hey, I was just on a flight back from Park City. I'm like, oh, nice. Good for you. How was the snow? He's like, great. It was good skiing. And he's telling me this story about this girl who's on the plane who won an Olympic gold medal in like solo bob something or other, you know?
Yeah, bobsled.
And I was like,
that's what they cut the Super Bowl thing off for, remember?
And I was like, I don't know who she is. Like, he's like, you don't know who she is? She won a gold medal. She was on my flight. Look, I took a picture with her, and there's her medal. I'm like, listen, I mean, I've been arguing on the radio that, you know, I've been watching the Winter Games, and George isn't. I go, but I don't know who she is. You'll have to excuse me, pal. But there he was with this picture with this gold medal winner.
Cap, that guy is you. I could see you. Yes. I could totally see you having that exact conversation, but being the other guy.
Right.
So someone else like, what? You don't know who that is? But they won a gold medal.
That is
right. But I wasn't that guy.
Right.
In fact, I was the opposite guy. I was the guy who didn't know who she was.
Right.
So then I don't know how I could be the other guy.
Which then leads you to believe like, well, if I didn't know and that guy knew, now I know. Oh, man, now everybody knows.
No, it actually made me think the opposite, which is this guy knew something I didn't know, and I was embarrassed because he's like, aren't you like a sports radio guy? And I know who
and
she
did
is.
And did you tell him nobody cares in sports radio about the Olympics?
I had to explain to him. I go, my partner, George, refuses to watch the Olympics because he didn't participate in these sports as a child. So he decided that he didn't want to be part.
You blame George.
Yes,
yeah,
I blame George exclusively.
It's not like you turn on Sports Talk Radio and they're breaking down like the bobsled
and stuff.
No, people think that we know everything. And I have to explain to him, I know nothing.
Well, no, people that listen to this show know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this guy apparently doesn't listen.
Yeah.
Well, he should get it together.
That's his problem.
That is his problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. He's missing out.
Oh, my God.
All right, you were about to get us into the ESPN Top 75 player list.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a 75th anniversary, you know, of all the players or whatever. I have some issues with it. I gotta be honest with you.
Tell me.
So my thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the top 10. I want to make sure I have it correctly. So
okay.
Give me 1 second.
I got it pulled up here.
Okay. I'm looking at it now. So anyway, NBA rank. Okay, here we are. So number one was Michael Jordan, right? Like obviously.
Okay. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, I think we're good. Right. Yeah, we're all right. Then number two was LeBron James, right? So no problem. Right?
Okay, I can live with it. I mean, I think there's a debate to be had, but I can live with it.
No, sure, there's a debate. Okay, and by the way, do you want me to tell you how I voted real quick?
Yeah.
Or would you want? Let me give you the 10 first.
Okay.
And then tell you how I voted. Okay. So one was Jordan. This is a cumulative thing with everybody that works at ESPN that covers the NBA. One was Jordan. Two was LeBron. Three was Kareem. Four was Magic. Five was Wilt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Six was Bill Russell. Seven was Larry. Eight was Tim Duncan. Nine was Oscar Robinson. 10 was Kobe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you how I voted in reverse. Okay. I had Shaq 10. Okay. I had Kobe 9. I had Tim Duncan 7. Larry Bird 6. Bill Russell 5. Wilt 4. I have that wrong. Hold on. I had Shaq at 10, Kobe 9, right?
Yeah, you missed 8.
Yeah, 8 was Tim Duncan, my bad.
Got it.
And then Larry was 7,
mm-hmm.
Bill was 6. I had the rest the same way, basically, after that. So I had Wilt 5, Magic 4, Kareem 3, LeBron 2, and Michael 1. And now, look, it's a semantics argument. Oscar Robertson was number 9 on that list. I had Oscar Robertson at 11. I had Shaq at 10 and Kobe at 9. And honestly, I probably would have put Shaq above Kobe had Kobe not had the last championship. If they would have both been at 4, I would have probably placed Shaq ahead of him. But that wasn't the case. And I think that that's kind of some of the tiebreaker stuff you have to go through. I also felt like you could put easily, I could have put Hakeem Olajuwon in the top 10. But I couldn't muster up any reason to take the other people out. But I do feel like Kobe was a little low. I mean, I can make the argument that Kobe could have been higher than 9 even on my list. Maybe he could have been in, you know, the 7 range or 7 or 8 even potentially. But I do feel like Shaq not being in the top 10, to me, was a, like, I thought it was a mistake. Like, I think Shaquille O'Neal is the most dominant guy we've seen in this sport at that position since Wilt Chamberlain. And I believe Wilt Chamberlain should be a top 5 guy, and I believe Shaq should have been a top 10 guy.
What do you think about Steph Curry at 16?
I'm okay with Steph at 16. I think I may have had him in, I'd have to look back at the list. I remember my top 10 off the top of my head. But I feel fairly confident I had Steph in that 15 or 16 range.
What do you think about Kevin Durant at 12?
I have no problem with it. I had him also kind of in that 12 to 15 range. I had Hakeem ahead of him for sure. I had Dr. J ahead of him. So I think I may have had Durant at 14 and then Steph at 15.
I would be terrible at voting at things like this because I'm more of the contemporary guy. So, like, Steph Curry would have been ahead of Moses Malone, would have been ahead of Dr. J, might have even been ahead of Hakeem. I think the contemporary guys are so great right now, and they're in my face, you know? Like, I'm seeing them all the time. I'm seeing them in the
highlights.
But
you're an old guy. Like, you don't know, like, Moses Malone and Dr. J and Hakeem
Olajuwon. I do, but I feel like I would have put Steph Curry ahead of Moses Malone and ahead of Dr. J.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I wouldn't have a huge issue with that.
And I'm a little
surprised. I feel like Dr. J was the first, like, he was like the Jordan before Jordan in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about how Steph Curry plays, his impact on the game.
Greatest shooter of all time.
Right. So you have the greatest shooter of
and
all
by the
time.
Way, but his career's not done. I don't think he finishes there. I think when we do this list again in 25 years, he's probably going to be higher.
But he's caught between Moses Malone at 15 and Dirk Nowitzki at 17. And I thought, gosh, I kind of think I would have Steph Curry ahead of, you know, like I'd have him higher up. And Giannis at 18. Giannis at 18 in front of
I did not have Giannis in my top 20.
Did you have Jerry West in your top 20?
I did, yes.
Yeah. See, I'd be terrible at voting on stuff like this. Elgin Baylor at 20.
I had Jerry actually right after Steph. I had him at 16.
Yeah, I'm glad nobody asked me to vote on stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you also just completely omitted like an entire era of basketball. There's that. So.
Right. Well, like you said at the beginning, you know, this is everybody at ESPN who has like NBA credibility.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that.
Definitely not.
No, not even close. Now, if you ask me to bet, if you ask me to help with the top 75 NFL players of all time, you know, then I got a qualified opinion or somewhat qualified opinion. When it comes to this kind of list, man, I'm telling you, I would take all the modern players, all the current contemporary guys, guys from the Shaq Kobe era,
yeah,
up until today, I'd have put them in front of pretty much all these guys.
Speaking of football, Aaron Rodgers posted like some cryptic stuff on social media, and I don't need your opinion on this, to be honest with you. I want to hear from Lindsay and Laura about, like, does Aaron Rodgers need a real friend? Okay. Like, let's get into some of that on the other side.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Blame it on the rain. Yeah, yeah.
How many songs did Milli Vanilli actually end up with? Was it just two?
What's that?
Did they only have two songs, Milli Vanilli?
No.
Two hit, like big hit songs.
No, they had multiple hit songs. Yeah, yeah. They had multiple hit songs.
Well, Blame It on the Rain was this one. And what was the one we
Girl,
played earlier?
Girl, You Know It's True.
Yeah, Girl, You Know It's True.
I mean,
True.
We played that earlier.
Ooh, I love you. Okay, yeah, those two songs. Anything else that I should know in the Milli Vanilli catalog that I don't remember?
Trying to think.
I can't think of another song that they sang.
So they had Girl, You Know It's True. Baby, Don't Forget My Number, also, was a top 10 hit. Blame It on the Rain was a top five, was a number three hit. Oh, no, wait, in the U.S.? Where did it go? U.S. number one. Actually, no, Girl, You Know It's True. Actually, it's funny because that's the first one. Never was a number one hit, even though it was like worldwide a number one hit. It was only two in the U.S. Baby, Don't Forget My Number was a number one hit. Blame It on the Rain was a number one hit. Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You, the ballad, was a number one hit. And then they had a song called All or Nothing that was number four, topped at number four on the charts.
That's good information, but I only remember two of the five that you just mentioned.
Okay, I understand you only remember two of the five, but I literally just listed five songs.
No, it's impressive by you. I'm just saying, I can't think of the other three. I can't even hear them.
You don't know Baby, Don't Forget My Number?
Tell me, sing it for me. Let me hear it.
Baby, da, 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 don't forget my number. Da, 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 da. Come on, you don't know that song?
I might know it if I heard it, but that didn't do it for me.
Laura, find the song, please, por favor. We get a second there. Yeah, before we get to Aaron Rodgers y la locura del.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is going to say that to his fiance or ex-fiance.
And then there was the ballad, Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You. It's a tragedy for me to see the dream is over. Because I'm never going to forget the day we met. Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You. Come on, dog.
You were a huge Milli Vanilli fan, weren't you?
Yeah, really, George. It's good
I
stuff.
I mean, it's like, I don't know, 88, 89. I was like 11 and 12. Like those songs, you know. You know, listen, you can quiz me on anything in the I would say like from 1985 to like 2000, that's my wheelhouse right there. Those 15 years. Baby, Don't Forget My Number by Milli Vanilli.
Baby, Don't Forget My Number.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to hear it, I'm going to remember it, and then I'm going to know every word to it, and then I'm going to jam out to it is what I'm going to do.
I feel like you're going to tell us, well, you know, back around that time, I was at blah, blah, blah. Like, I was in my dorm room at Pitt, so I wasn't really into Milli Vanilli. That's usually how these things go.
No, yeah, I mean, generally. The Milli Vanilli stuff, I think George is kind of onto it in terms of the mid-'80s. I think the mid-'80s is when it happened. But those songs, the first
two.
This is late 80s.
They were in, late 80s, early 90s.
There we go. Bump, 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 bump. Wait till they get to the hook.
Hi. I've been searching low.
For what it's worth, I don't know this one at all.
Yeah, I don't know it either.
You know it when the damn chorus comes.
Let me
chill.
Hear it.
There you go.
Nope.
You don't know this song?
I can legit tell you I don't remember this song at all. And like usually
it was a number
song,
one hit.
Song
You're
sparks
a phony
a memory.
Milli Vanilli fan.
I'm a terrible Milli Vanilli fan. That is true. I'm a faux Milli Vanilli fan.
You are faker than Milli Vanilli themselves.
Right.
Correct. You're Philly Vanilli.
But I got to give you credit, George. I mean, you on the other hand, you are a serious Milli Vanilli guy.
I mean, I know the songs, dude. I mean, that story was so intriguing to me, just all of it that surrounded them.
As a huge, huge fan of, as you guys know, documentaries, but VH1 Behind the Music and like, or I think there was another one that they did. That one was very...
It's the best one. Not even close.
Yeah. I was going to say, that one's very... like, it'll grab you and be like, wow. Even if you didn't even like them, you have to watch that one.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Where would you find that now? Like, where can you find
probably
that
on demand?
YouTube or something, yeah.
Oh, on YouTube. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. YouTube has everything.
Yeah. Cap's like, oh, YouTube. That's right.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have thought of YouTube for a Behind the Music because I thought it would be, like, proprietary to VH1 or Viacom or whoever owned it at the
time. You don't think VH1 and Viacom have a YouTube channel?
No, they might. I just didn't think of going there. Look, George, listen, I'm the same guy that yesterday didn't realize it was President's Day, went to the post office looking to buy one stamp, and then didn't have a backup plan as to where to get a stamp when the post office is closed on a national holiday. So this should surprise you that I didn't think to myself, you know what? Behind the Music, Milli Vanilli, I really want to see that. Where should I go? I didn't think of YouTube as my first place.
You're not watching any of it, so I mean, what are we fooling? All right.
Because you know why? Recently, I've been watching this 30 for 30 with Charles Woodson and Tom Brady. Have you guys seen this yet? The Tuck Rule?
Yes, I've seen the Tuck Rule, where Tom Brady basically sort of kind of admits that he fumbled the ball.
But I loved it. Just to see two college teammates who were involved in one of the most famous plays in NFL history sitting there giving each other the business, I loved it. I thought it was great.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, Tom Brady did it, so of course you love it.
Yeah, wait, anything with Brady. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You should change your name to Scott Kaplan Brady already.
I mean, his hair looked great, his teeth, his skin, his clothing, his house. Yeah.
Go eat avocado ice cream too then, bro.
Bro, you sound like Aaron Rodgers to his ex.
Yeah, with Shailene. What's up? Lindsay, read real quick, like, or paraphrase what Aaron Rodgers did today on Instagram, which was kind of weird.
Well, so it was a Monday night gratitude post, and he had like pictures, you know, with him and Shailene Woodley, his ex-girlfriend, and his friends, blah, blah, blah. He tweeted out like, hey, here's some Monday night gratitude for some of the incredibly special people in my life. He said, Shailene Woodley, thanks for letting me chase after you the first couple of months after we met, and finally letting me catch up to you and be part of your life. I mean, he got like really mushy with her and talking about like, oh, thank you for the kindness you show me and everyone you meet. I love you and I'm grateful to you. Then he was like thanking his friends. He recalls like the Friday night crew and gets a little bit mushy with them. And then he finishes by thanking his teammates.
Right.
And says you are the icing on the beautiful cake we call our job, football. And then he just says like to everyone else, spread love and gratitude, you beautiful people, and read a book once in a while too while you're at it. Love and peace.
Now, okay, let's just deal with the Shailene Woodley part of this. Laura and Lindsay. So, Lindsay, we'll start with you. If your ex-boyfriend puts that out on social media, and maybe he did reach out to her personally. I don't know. So, like, we're just guessing here. How are you reacting to that?
I would think it was weird because I don't think that, like, I think he got a little personal with his post. And to me, I just think it's weird that like you need to share those details and that like intimate side of your relationship with the rest of the world. Like, granted, there's nothing wrong with the Monday gratitude post and stuff like that, but I feel like his is very excessive to the point where like he's trying to say something, or, you know, like there's got to be an ulterior motive here, right?
Yeah, I think it is odd, peculiar to say the least.
Loud. Am I too cynical for thinking that?
No, yeah, I don't think
cynical.
So.
No, it's cynical. It's okay, though.
It is, but I don't think it's too cynical was her question. I don't think it's too cynical. I don't think she disagreed that it was cynical. I think she was wondering if it was perhaps too, you know, more cynical than necessary. Lauda?
He's nuts, bro. He's nuts. Look, I'm all for the gratitude. I post things like that, you know, very, very occasional. But I do. But I feel like when you're in a situation like that, too much. Like, you know, nobody wants that. Remember Needy and Clingy? And we talked about this because Cap, you know, you kind of had those tendencies. That's how he's coming off. like, bro, back off. And again, we don't know if he contacted her or not. But you don't need to put it out there for IG to see.
Yeah.
Do it indoors. In-house. That's it.
Indoors.
In-house.
Don't do it outside. Do it indoors. Make sure the windows are closed and profess your love, but do it indoors.
Yeah. Sometimes things just need to be kept private, and that's something that I felt that should have kept
you guys,
private.
Do you guys think that this is because he's an NFL football player and he's a quarterback, and
no,
that this is so unusual for someone to be talking so I don't know, cosmically, you know, he's coming off this cleanse. He's been 12 days of no exercise, no working out. Everything's about cleansing his brain, his heart, his body.
But that part isn't weird. The fact that he who seems to be like genuinely and generally a pretty private person, you know, like him putting all of this stuff out there is weird. And I've always thought that when people like go out of their way to post stuff about their relationships on social media, those people to me are like usually the phoniest, or they're trying to like project.
Much. Yeah,
when because
you do too much.
I mean, if you're in a relationship with that person, like you're communicating with them all the time, you don't need to tell the world about it on social media.
Yeah.
Right.
It is funny, though, how everybody is trying to analyze what he did. In fact, there's that one picture of the
two
Packers.
Well, some people think that he's leaving the Packers because of the Packers part of it that Lindsay mentioned.
Right. Well, there's the two receivers. There's Devontae Adams, and I don't remember who the other receiver was, and he usually stands between them during the national anthem, and they kind of embrace arms. And the picture that they sent to him was the one without him in it. And so people, like, right away jump to a conclusion. Well, that must mean he's retiring because he's no longer in the picture. So everybody read these posts, and everybody's trying to figure out what he's talking about. And to me, that's what he wanted. You know,
you think he wants the engagement?
Yes, I think he wants everybody wondering what in the hell is going on with Aaron Rodgers right now.
As opposed to LeBron, who wants to tell everybody how he thinks passively and aggressively.
Yes, or in
LeBron
certain cases,
LeBron leaves way more clues than Aaron does.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is like making us all work really hard to try and figure out what is it that he is trying to say.
Yeah, it's like a Scooby-Doo mystery.
Yeah, but LeBron, I think we've all come to the conclusion he really is pissed at the Lakers front office. He hasn't.
Well, maybe Rob Pelinka specifically, yes.
Maybe. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it's more. Maybe he's mad at Genie. I mean, maybe LeBron is thinking to himself.
I don't think he would be mad at Genie. I don't think players, I don't think Genie's not involved like that. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but he might be thinking to himself, hey, Genie, I thought you and I had an agreement here. You know, I tell Rob what to do.
I bet you this. I bet you, and Max kind of alluded to this earlier. I bet you Genie fixes all this, if I had to guess.
Well, that would make her a great owner. I mean, you can talk about being a female in a male-dominated world and winning a championship.
Right, but here's the thing. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many female bosses have you had in your life prior to this one, this job?
I don't know. I don't know that I've had any female bosses prior to Amanda
Brown.
I had an ex-wife. I have a girlfriend.
No, but
I've got three daughters. Those are female bosses.
I mean, those sort of count, but not really. I've had multiple at this company. Mm-hmm. And I would say, and I'm not saying it just because our boss right now is female, but I would say of all my bosses here at ESPN specifically, but in general, I would say that they rank near the top. They rank near the top in general and certainly at ESPN, the female bosses I've had here.
Well, again, if Jeannie Buss is able to sit down and mediate as the owner of the team and say, Rob, you sit over here and LeBron, you sit over here. Guys, we're going to be grown-ups and we're going to work this out because, LeBron, we want you to stay. And, Rob, we want you to stay. And we think we've got a great team combined. So guess what? I'm going to sit here as the owner, and I'm going to make sure that the end result is what I want, which is for everybody to be on the same page. If she's able to do that, she's a phenomenal owner because too many male owners are incapable of doing that, and there's a battle between coach and general manager, and one guy has to leave rather than everybody getting on the same page. If Jeannie can do that, she's a phenomenal owner.
Okay, and the reason I alluded to earlier that the female bosses I've had, particularly at this company, right, but like in general, the reason they're near the top of the list, all of them, is because of that. Women, generally, far more rational and less emotional.
Yep, about less egotistical.
Less egotistical and just understand, like, hey, let's just get down, let's just figure this out, right? Because think about it. It's just women in general, much better at that. Men let ego get in the way too much. I mean, if we let dudes I know we live in this world, like, everyone's like, oh, you know, like, you know, you have like these misogynist types that are like, oh, yeah, you know, you need a man. Listen, bro, even all those dudes, we need a man in charge. Yeah, you had a mom, bro. And you know who ran your house? Your mama. Okay. And you know who runs this house? Jeannie Buss. She's the mama.
Mama.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's like Lindsay and Laura. They're the mamas. They run the house. You and I just do what they say.
Pretty much. Pretty much that's the way it goes down around
here. I mean, that's kind of your life, too. You just alluded to it. Your girls and, you know, your ex-wife and now Rachel. And, you know.
All right. Well, the boss is saying go to break. I mean, I can hear her yelling at me.
I was kidding.
Yeah, we're 3 minutes past, bro. So we got to go to break. That one's on me, though.
Yeah.
Usually on you. This one on me, though. All right, big deal or no deal? Up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so U.S. soccer and the U.S. women's national team reached a landmark agreement to end a long-running legal dispute over equal pay today. Under the terms of the settlement, players on men's and women's teams are going to be paid the same at all future tournaments, including the World Cup. Well, U.S. soccer is also going to pay $24 million to the 28 athletes from the women's team who were part of the lawsuit. That equals to around $800,000 each. So, obviously, this is a huge deal. But I just wanted to ask you guys, if you were awarded $800,000 tomorrow, what would you do with it, Cap?
Really good question. I probably would pay for my three kids in college. I just pay that off, like get that out of the way. And then I would say I'm probably good for buying a house in Florida. I'd buy a house down in Florida where my parents live, my sister lives. Change my residence so I can avoid the taxes. I'm going to do that.
I would set aside some money for my kids for school. I mean, I've done that already, but I would set, you know, I'd pick a specific number. And, you know, that I think, you know, I'd do the math, crunch the math, and what college may cost by the time they get there.
Oh,
you know, one in about 10 or 11 years and the other one, you know, in about 14 or 15, which my guess is going to probably be a lot. And would eat up a majority of that money, but then the rest of it, I don't know.
You wouldn't buy Bitcoin? You wouldn't be going into more crypto?
Well, right. I would probably use the rest to invest in something, maybe some Bitcoin, yeah. I mean, I would probably spread it around and diversify, but yeah, probably some would be allocated there, yeah.
I would buy a Tesla and try to use the rest to, like, make a down payment on a house, since that's not gonna buy me a house around here, you know. It's a lot of money, but so are houses around here.
You take that $800,000 and put it down on a down payment on a house and buy yourself a nice house.
Right. That's exactly what I just said, Cap.
What I'm saying to you is you just said you couldn't you said you couldn't buy much with that kind of money.
I said I would probably put it down towards a house because $800,000 is not going to buy me a whole house.
Well, $800,000 on a house that's, you know, $1.5 million, that's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah. Laura, what would you do with $800,000 tomorrow?
Oh, man.
You know she's moving out of her parents' house immediately.
I would definitely move. I would pay some of my parents, like, small debts and then invest a lot of that money. But I can't buy a house here. Not a good one. So I'm there.
All right, cool.
You know, I'm surprised you asked it that way, only because it's super impressive that USA soccer finally got this right. You know, my daughter played competitive soccer, and she would say to me, I don't understand. Why are the women great and the men suck, and the women don't get paid what the men get paid? And it's good to see that the women and men are going to be paid equally. I hope that the women get what the men were making rather than the men coming down to what the women were making. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, but like I said, it's obviously a big deal. I mean, I think it's something that, like, has been talked about quite a bit, and I think the fact that they are finally getting, you know, they're going to get equal pay with the men's team, I think it's a big deal. And I feel like it's like an obvious one. Like, yep, they should have been doing that all along. And good for them that they're finally getting their crap together, you know?
Yep. Congratulations to somebody like Megan Rapinoe, who's been the biggest, you know, supporter of that and spoken about it outwardly. All right, let's keep rolling.
All right. So you guys have probably heard the phrase, my whole life has flashed before my eyes before, because a lot of people hear it during near-death experiences. And there just might be some truth to it. scientists have recorded the activity of a dying human brain for the first time ever, and it revealed brain wave patterns related to dreaming and memory recall. So the study they did indicates that the brain is capable of coordinated activity even after blood stops flowing through it. So your brain is still alive for a while after you're alive. Is this a big deal or no deal, Sonano?
Oh, I think it's a big deal. It's kind of wild. But I kind of knew that only because my sister, since retired, worked CSI for many years. And, you know, obviously she dealt with a lot of bodies and then going to the coroner's office and or, you know, whatever. And knowing, having had those conversations, I kind of was aware of it. But it is still to me an amazing fact that how impressive your brain is, that even when your body fails you, it's still going for a little bit.
I'm going to go the other direction on this one and just say no deal.
Why?
And it's not because it just. It just doesn't seem like that big of a deal. You know, somebody's dying. Their brain still functions for however long it may be. And
they said it could be like up to an hour after you're dead that your brain is record. It's not like it's just alive. It's still record, like recalling memories and having dreams for like an hour after you're dead. That's crazy.
Right. So you could be dead. It's why when people like. Have you ever heard the stories, Cap, of people saying they're dying and then they've seen the afterlife or whatever and they somehow get resuscitated?
Mm-hmm.
And that people have literally, like, died, like, on
they've been brought back
operating
to life,
table. Mm-hmm. Right, and been brought back to life. And they thought they saw the other side. Yep. That's what Lindsay's referring to.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been there.
You've been there? You've died and thought you saw the other side?
That's correct.
When did that happen?
You're so full of crap.
No, I'm not full of crap. I'm being totally serious.
This
happened in probably the early 90s. And it's a long story, but I'll make it really short. My appendix burst and I was in training camp for my college football team and no one, because all we had were orthopedic doctors, no one knew what was wrong with me. And this went on for days. And they finally got me to an emergency room when a doctor said, oh, he has appendicitis. It's burst and the gangrene was setting into my body. And I can remember being in the emergency room, and I don't know if it was drug-induced, but I definitely felt like I was in a position where I was like, dude, you can let go, and you can move on, or you got to try and regain consciousness and stay here. And that really did happen, and I was about 21 or 22 years old. Now, I don't know sure.
Was it drug-induced, though? Do you know?
No, I don't know. I really don't.
Did you ask?
No, because I don't think I realized it until well after the fact, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, it could have been drug-induced. I will acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
definitely
look at that. We normally think you're full of bleep, so we just automatically assumed you were going to make up some ridiculous story. Look at
that. No, this is a ridiculous story, but it's one that I believe is true.
Yes. And could plausibly be true.
Right. I don't know for sure that it's true. It's just that's what I remember.
Okay. What's next, Linz?
All right, so next story here. A California woman who spent 13 days in jail last year is now suing the LAPD for what she said was a wrong arrest. According to the lawsuit, police mistook Bethany K. Farber of Calabasas for a woman with the same exact name who had an arrest warrant out for her. So this is obviously an experience that no one should go through, especially a law-abiding citizen. So I understand it's a big deal. But have you guys ever been mistaken for someone else? Sedano.
So, I have not been mistaken for someone else. But not too long ago, for a year, I was getting calls about someone who shares my last name, a woman who shares my last name, but has a first name that isn't she's not related to me. I don't know who she is, right? She just happens to have my same last name.
So and we'll just she has say her name is... Sophie Sedano.
No, it doesn't matter what her first name is, but I don't want to say it out loud. But anyway, long story short, we share the same last name, but she doesn't have a first name that I recognize. I don't know this person. I don't know who this is. And I kept getting calls that she had a judgment against her. So I'm like, I call these numbers back, right? And I would tell the person, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm keep getting these voicemails or whatever about this person. I don't know who this person is. There's no one in my family named that. So... you know, it's just a coincidence. We have the same last name. So you please, you know, kind of take my number off or find the lady, you know, and that way you can let her know, right? Okay, cool. So every couple of months I would get these calls. And then the other, like, couple weeks, maybe like a couple months ago now, I got fed up and I said, let me ask you a question. Where does this lady live? And she lives somewhere in Northern California. And I was like, no, I don't have any family members in Northern California. I don't know this lady. I've been, and I repeated the story a bunch of times. So I said, yeah, you need to figure this out. That same week, two or three more calls, and eventually they stopped because I literally told them, I need you to take my number off this thing. I need you to find this lady. Tell the process server or whoever that it's not me. So, like, I don't know them. I can't help you find her because I don't know her. Because they kept saying, your address is listed as a place where she lives. And I'm like, what's the address you have on file? And it was somewhere in Northern California. I'm like, I don't live in Northern California. So, eventually, that was settled. But clearly, being mistaken as far as being thrown in jail would be, of course, unbelievably upsetting if I was just annoyed at someone calling me. So being thrown in jail for something I didn't do, yeah, I would be, I mean, I'd be going nuts for sure.
All right, so here's my story. I was never mistaken for somebody else and arrested, you know, the question you're asking. But this is going to be a little dark, okay? Just be prepared.
Oh, boy. All right, here we go.
So, another one.
Well, listen, so my wife at the time and I were living in New York City.
Yeah.
And we lived in a
high-rise
dorm.
You were a big star at WNEW.
Right, big star.
With Steve Mason.
Yeah, listen, I'm talking like it was no joke. I mean, limo picked you up every morning at 4 a.m., took you to the studio, and took you home later in the day.
Good
I mean,
Lord, could you imagine?
As Mason says, WNEW.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, here's what happens. So,
wow. So, wow, that was dismissive, but go ahead.
Well, here's what happened. This is a totally, totally true story. Mm-hmm. So we come, my ex-wife and I, we come home one day. It's a Sunday afternoon, and the doorman in the building was like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're okay. And we're like, why? What's going on? And there were sirens and ambulances around the building. And he said, we thought you jumped off the building.
What?
What?
Yeah, right. And we're like, what are you talking about, man? And he said, there were two women that lived in the building with the same name. And this woman went to the top of the building, literally took her own life, jumped to her death on the ground. But they didn't know which one it was because my wife and her shared the same name. So when we walked in, they were like, oh, my God, we didn't know who it was. So mistaken, you know, same name, didn't know who it was. And we got caught up in that day. And, well, it was the other one.
Wow. Crazy.
Crazy story, right?
Dude, you've had a lot of crazy stories today. They all involve death, though. That's
yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, my God. I just got a funny text. Hey, Cap.
Yo.
Trudell just sent me a text. Says, hey, tell Cap thanks for that story. Just got into the car with the twins leaving a high school soccer game. Quote, Daddy, what does that mean?
Hey, look, Trudell, my man, I don't come up with the questions. I just come up with the answers.
Yeah. Mm. You've been very morbid today, though.
Yes.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know about morbid. I mentioned to you guys earlier that I had a friend who had passed and it was very sad. And she had this goal of what she wanted her life celebration to be. And that happens to be tonight on National Margarita Day. So I'm going to celebrate her life with some margaritas.
Pour some tequila, bro.
I'm going to. Yeah. I'm going to pour some tequila.
On the ground for her.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah. You don't know that? You pour, like, the drink that they love and on the ground.
You know, somebody gave me a really, what looks like a very nice bottle of Patron. I don't know if it is or not, but it looks like a really nice bottle. Somebody gave it to me, sent it to me for my birthday, which was also a little weird that they had my address or found my address.
What are we drinking tonight? What are you doing the National Margarita Day? What kind of tequila? What you know? What brand? What style of tequila? What kind of tequila? Are you doing blanco? Are you doing reposado? Are you doing añejo? Well, añejo is more of a sipping one, but Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing tonight?
So I'm very, very caught up in Don Julio Reposado. That is my tequila of choice.
Okay. See, how I'm going mandala tequila.
All right. All right.
We have a little blanco to make for margaritas.
Okay.
And then, you know, maybe afterwards, you know, just National Margarita Day doesn't mean I need to just have margaritas. I could just have a little añejo or extra añejo. Mandala tequila, tequila mandala, for you know, little post dinner drink, right? I think that's the way it's going to go.
Anybody drinks a margarita tonight, post a picture and tag us in the picture, and we'll all cheers each other via social media, since we all won't be together.
Have 1, 2, 3, or 4 for me.
Oh yeah, Laura can't drink right now. She's on a no drinking binge.
But
cleaning it up.
Manny Torres actually sent me a message and said 2 ounces of white tequila, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup, 1 ounce of lime juice, 3 to 4 dashes of orange bitters. Shake it, put it over ice, and that's your straight traditional margarita. If you don't want to go buy one.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. All right, George.
Lynn, are you doing a marg tonight? A marg? A marga?
No, I don't drink. I'm not like on a break or anything. I just don't drink really normally. I drink I'm kind of like, I drink like a couple times a year when it's like a big celebration, but you know,
okay.
I choose not to partake, but I'll have like, I would say I would have a virgin margarita, but those aren't really a thing because you can't really do that. I wish I could, because I love the way they taste.
Uh-oh. We have breaking news on the show. Now, I gave you a little news earlier in the show, right? Mm-hmm. But now we have other breaking news on the show.
Okay.
Lauda. Uh-oh. Sources close to me,
uh-huh.
Okay, and close to you.
Okay, I know who that is.
Have just told me that you went to Starbucks today.
Oh, yeah, it's Briones. I know it was him. Yeah. I did go to Starbucks. My friend gave me a $20 gift card, and I didn't pay for it.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You can go to Starbucks if you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. You've been trying to save money, and you're spending, you know, $5-$10 every day at Starbucks, and that's an easy way to save money.
Yeah. Right.
But
my friends are just now giving me gift cards because they know I love Starbucks and I can't spend money. So it actually worked out for me. Thank you, guys.
I was going to say, it is the greatest thing. I need to, like learn your ways. I feel like you're always getting stuff for free from people.
I mean, that sounded a little harsh, but I mean, people like me. It was a compliment, though.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, you all, like, I feel like when you go out, like, when you go out and do things, you're like, don't worry, I didn't pay for it, and I want to know how that comes about. Dude, honestly,
like, people just, they're like, when I go out, like, if I go out to a bar or whatever, like, I start conversations with people, like, not to get anything, I don't shut up. Like, I really don't. I just talk. Like, I like.
Well,
you know,
I saw you in action. I did. I saw you in action at a bar recently. After we had our the station event down the street at that rooftop.
Oh
hotel,
yeah, good point. Yes,
we were at another hotel bar down the street, and I saw you in action, just talking.
I do.
You were working the room, girl.
I just talk, and people are like, oh, do you want this? And I'm like, sometimes I say no, and I'm like, okay, yeah, thank you. And they're like, I'll get the next one, you know?
And that's then you and Beto were fighting about speaking Spanish.
I feel like Beto doesn't like me, but it's okay. No, but and not everybody got to like
everyone
me.
Everyone kind of gets that feeling that he doesn't like him, but he
right,
really
that's
does.
That's kind of his thing. That's sort of his thing. I actually think it's a compliment. When you think he doesn't like you, he probably really likes you. No. You know, Laura, this worked out brilliantly
Although
for
he
you.
Does love Trudell, if Trudell's still listening. I know that for a fact.
Oh, really?
Trudell is honorary Mexican, which is the highest honor you can get from Beto.
Wow.
That's true.
Laura, I will say this. This thing has worked out brilliantly for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had this conversation. I sort of money shamed you.
Oh, no, you totally money shamed me.
Right. But I want to compliment you, and here's why. Uh-huh. Because you now get all your Starbucks, and it comes in the form of gift cards or other people right. buying it. Everybody knows you want it, but everybody knows you're not going to pay for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, the money shaming actually turned into a great thing for you. Let me tell you what you did to me.
All right, quickly, because we have to break soon, because we're already over, but go ahead.
Oh, really? Where are we at, Laura? What's
just
our
go!
Well, we're in the last segment, dude. I want to know how long I got here, you know?
Yeah, we have a 54 hard out.
We're a minute past, so how
then forget it. I'll tell you tomorrow.
I mean, I could have killed the promo, but okay.
I wanted to tell you how you body shamed me and how great that's been.
Wait,
for me.
No, I don't like that. I don't body shame people. Don't be lying to people.
Yeah,
no,
you
I
body
don't.
Shamed me.
No,
yeah,
I did not. But
yeah,
we got
to
go.
She body shamed you?
She body shamed me, yep.
I did not.
But it turned into a great thing for me.
So that's not good either. So.
Turned into a great thing for me, Laura.
Refused.
What did you body shame him about?
I didn't.
She told me I'm weak, I'm flabby, you know. She's like, I'm not in shape. She said all these things to me, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to fix this.
But all those were true, were they not?
Well, but it was shaming, yeah.
No, you shame yourself all the time.
And right. Then she agreed with you.
Yeah.
No, she doubled down. Difference between agreeing and doubling down.
Anyways, we got to go, and that's the lie.
All right, let's roll.
All right. Cap's a liar, according to Laura. We will discuss more about it tomorrow.
Lie.
Yes. Cap believes Laura is a liar. We will discuss that more tomorrow. There's a lot of lies.